It's the 29th of April. We just finished up exam number 4, and we went over that. And now, the final. What's going to be on the final? Well, the final's not for 4 weeks, though, so relax. But you should be studying everything, because the final will be cumulative. There will be questions about, specific questions about the options and futures, which we're going to go over this week. Next week will be margining, shorting, and these are things that you need to learn and understand, but hopefully you'll never do. Maybe you might do margining, maybe you might do shorting. Options, I hope you stay away from these things, I really do. Shorting, if you believe a company is going to go down, if you really think the company, I mean, in 2005 and 6, I was sure GM was going under. I was absolutely sure. And they went under. they went down the porcelain oasis. And I kept saying, you know what, you should short. Nah. Peter Lynch says don't short stocks. Who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? And what you're doing, when you're shorting a stock, you're really saying, I hope this company does poorly. And I hate that. I want everybody to win. Obviously, everybody can't win. You know, Herbalife. Well, that guy, he lost a ton of money. He's back to even?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know enough about Herbalife. All I know about Herbalife is the joke. Have you ever seen this, you know, lose weight now, ask me how? Have you ever seen those bumper stickers?
Yeah.
I saw one bumper. I laughed. Get laid now. Ask me how. I want to invest in that company. So what's due on Thursday? It's chapter 10. Chapter 10 are the same calculations that we just went over on the exam number 4. And they're really important. You should know these. Yosana, who's not here today, took one of the sample Series 7 exams, and she told me that those calculations for the yield to maturity, the yield to call, weren't on there. So maybe they've taken it off. I really do need to basically act like I'm going to take the Series 7 and find out what they've taken out, what they've added in. But still. All right, so who's got a good joke? Anybody? Speaking of the joke. The alligator walked into the bar. You've heard that one, haven't you? But did you? I don't want to go back to the bar jokes. You got a good one? You're great. Yeah, that's good. Okay. How about did you hear about the two hydrogen atoms? No? These two hydrogen atoms are walking down the street, and the one says, oh, I think I lost my electron. And the other one said, are you sure? He says, yes, I'm positive. See, you lose your electron, then you're positive. I told you that they'd get bad. Okay, the signs are out. The signs are good for something good to happen. All right, so let's get started on options. Now, dear students, as I told you last week, we are done. You now know pretty much everything you know about me. Well, that's not true. I mean, you never stop learning. But you have a strong foundation in the overview of investments. You can talk, hopefully, you know, quite eloquently to people who really don't know anything about investments, about the differences between financial investments and hard assets, securities and hard assets are sometimes called, and then, you know, short-term investments, risk versus returns, mutual funds, stocks, and bonds. And now we're going to discuss something that hopefully you will never, ever get involved with, but you need to know them, and those are called options. You won't understand this joke, but hopefully by the end of the presentation, actually the whole end of the chapter, which will take a couple presentations, you will understand it. At a very exclusive party, a high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and said, I will do anything, you want. The CEO flatly responded, reprice my options. Now, you may not understand it. You kind of get a feel for what's going on, but, yeah, he's not interested in her. Have you seen Donald Sterling? Have you noticed him in the news? They keep showing him next to his girlfriend or mistress or whatever she is. He's married still. And she keeps smiling. She's about, yeah, she looks like his granddaughter. Okay, so Yeah, reprice my options. Now, what does that mean? Hang on a minute. Let's get started. What is an option contract? Now, that's the real term, folks. The real term is option contract, which makes the plural options contracts, which makes it really difficult to say, so most people just use the term option. But option contract and option mean the same thing. They are securities, so they are able to be purchased and sold and traded, that gives the holder the right to buy or sell a certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. You mean you're not actually buying the asset? No, you're buying the ability, the right, to go out and buy that asset or sell that asset. And herein lies part of the problem, is there are options to buy and there are options to sell. So it's like looking through a mirror. One way we go this way, the other way we go that way, and it drives us absolutely insane. The financial assets are varied, but most people when they talk about options are talking about stock options. But there are options on bonds and options on all types of different assets. Options contracts are not investments. Do you remember our very first informational slide? An investment is any vehicle into which we place resources in the anticipation that we will have cash flows, you know, rent, dividends, interest, or that our value will be preserved or increased, capital gains. These things don't fit in that category. They are contracts between two investors. We really should change the word to speculators. The buyer of the option gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time. The seller of the option, the other side of the contract, must buy or sell the asset according to the terms of the contract. Are you confused yet? No? Yeah, good. That means we've done our job. Because we don't want you to understand these. We just want you to trade them so you'll lose a lot of money and we'll make commissions off of you. Options contracts are part of a class of securities called derivatives. Do you remember at the very beginning of the semester, I said all you have to know is that derivatives are securities that derive their value from the price behavior of an underlying real or financial asset? And I said, I made it a bonus point on the first exam. That's all you need to know then. Now we need to know more. What we are doing, folks, is we are speculating that something is going to go up or going to go down in the short term. Because option contracts have no voting rights, they don't get any dividends, they don't get any interest, and they eventually, poof, disappear. They expire. They're a contract that has a set time period, 3, 6, 9 months, and afterwards, they're gone. Their value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset, whatever the option is deriving its value from, with a much lower capital outlay. So we think a stock's going to go up. We can buy the stock. No, buy the option. And if the stock goes up, ooh-wee, are we going to be rich. And as I said, by the way, options contracts are usually just referred to as options because options contracts is hard to say over and over and over again. Options allow an investor to leverage their outlay of capital. Sound familiar, Bobby? Leverage. It helps us on the way up, and it hurts us on the way down. The ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying returns and magnifying losses. With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or other security as if you bought it for full price, but only come up with 1/10 or 1/20 of the money. Wait a minute. Does that sound too good to be true? Come up with the same gain with only 1/10 of the money? Well, yes, it is. You're right. It is too good to be true. Much of the time, you lose your entire outlay. Poof, it just disappears. Options have a time limit, and most options expire worthless. Now, there's some argument over how many. I'm going to say about 50, 60% of options expire worthless. Some people say it's 90%. That's too high. And some people say it's only 10%. That's too low. But most options are many or about half. Or I mean, the number is fun. It depends on who you talk to. Depends on if you're trying to push them, trying to get people to get hooked on them, or if you're trying to get people to stay away from them. Instead of buying a stock, folks, buy the option to buy the stock. You don't actually buy the stock. You buy an option to buy the stock or sell the stock. That's the other side of the coin. If the stock goes up, your option will go up almost always much, much faster. And you can sell the option for a handsome profit, or you can exercise it. There's only one catch. The option expires in 3, 6, 9 months. And if the stock does not go up, guess what happens to your option? Poof! It disappears. It expires worthless. There are some scenarios where options can be worthwhile. But in my humble opinion, they are few and far between. So I'm going to give you my bias right up front. I think these things are gambling. They won't use the word gambling. Your broker won't say gambling. They'll say, oh, they're highly speculative. And you know what that means. You're gambling. Right, exactly. So let's say you have this hot stock. What is it? Butterfly.com? No? What? Zoobilly? Zoolily. Is that a real company?
Yeah.
I've heard of it. What do they sell?
Stuff for, mothers and stuff.
Stuff for mothers? Zoolily. What's the company that sells you stuff for these games like League of Legends and World of Warcraft? You can buy things in these worlds that are nothing. They're just in the world. Whatever. Just not. Yeah. You can buy a sword to fight. But it's not a real sword, it's in the game.
Yeah, they buy it like
So let's say you got this Zoolily. Zoolily is selling for $20, right? And if the stock goes up to $30, yippee! You've earned $10 on a $20 investment. Pretty cool, right? Dear students, I'm going to show you something even cooler. Instead of buying the stock for $20, you purchase an option to purchase the stock at $20. Now, that option might only cost you $1, friends. For the price of a single dollar, you can buy an option to buy Zoolily. Now, are you actually buying Zoolily? No, you're simply buying the contract. You are making a contract with another person that I want to be able to buy this stock at $20. I will pay $1. That's called the premium, believe it or not. I hate that word. I wish they just called it the option price. But a lot of us just call it the option price. So I pay $1 for the option to buy, for the right to buy the stock at 20. Now, what if the stock goes up to 30? What happens to the option? The option will track the stock. The option will go up to about 11, maybe more. So what happened here? I made $10 again, but I only had to put a buck in the table. I only had to put $1 down. So where this is a 50% return, this is a 1,000% return. Do you with me? Understand what happened? And you're saying, me some too, right? Right? I'm going into options. Well, what usually happens, dear students, what if the stock price stays at 20 or goes down? What happens to your option? No, it disappears. Because why would you buy something at 20 when you can buy it at 19? Or maybe you'd buy it at 20. You know, the option wouldn't be worth very much, a few pennies then. So your option expires. It's not like buying a stock, which you can hold forever, assuming the company doesn't go bankrupt, and then sell it later on in retirement or give it to your kids or whatever. And of course, folks, right after the option expires, the price zooms to $40. Isn't that how the world works? Right? After the option expires and it's no longer worth anything, the stock price zooms to $40. You were so sure that this stock was going to hit the big time, and you were absolutely right, but because you bought an option that expired, you lost the ability to share in the success of the stock. My advice, dear students, is forget about the option. You believe in the stock, you buy the stock. But since this is an introduction to investments class, we need to become proficient in the terms, concepts, techniques of options, so let's get started. There are two main types of options. Now, I included a chart on the fourth page or the third page, the back page, I think it's on. Back page, okay. Because it gets real tricky very quickly, folks. There are options to buy. Those are called call options. And then there are options to sell, put options. And it reminds me, I can't draw a mirror, but it reminds me very similarly to a mirror. Anybody have a beard in here? I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
We need whatever those are.
It's on the back, right?
Yep.
Oh, you don't have them. Okay, I'm sorry. Who doesn't have one? Thelma, do you have one? Okay, Daniel? Did you get one?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I wish I could draw a mirror, but I can't. I tried, didn't look out very well. Okay, so has anybody ever tried to cut their hair in the mirror?
So hard.
It is, because you go this way, and who knows, it's supposed to go that way. You know, you're seeing yourself in the mirror, it doesn't work that way. So that's why I think of it as mirrors, because one way we go this way, other way we go that way, and you don't really go the right way. The call option gives the buyer of the option the right to buy. The put option gives the buyer of the option the right to sell. Okay, so there's two things here. There's the option, and then there's the underlying stock, or whatever it is. But in this case, we're always going to use stock options in this chapter. So the buyer of a call option is hoping that the price goes up. The buyer of a put option is hoping that the price goes down, because then they can sell it to somebody at a higher price. You understand? This is a call option, but it works exactly the same, only in reverse, if we buy a put option, because then we can put it to the other person on the other side of the contract. So you get the ideas? Call here, Kierstock, come here, stock, I'm calling you. Put, I'm putting it away, I'm getting it, I'm putting it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm selling it to you. A negotiable instrument that gives the buyer of the option the right to buy the underlying security. In this case, we are always using stocks, but it could be other items. And when people talk about options, unless they explicitly say it's a put option, they are always referring to call options. Unless they explicitly say, oh, no, it's a put option. I'm hoping the stock price goes down. I'm expecting the stock price goes down. Usually when they talk about options, they're hoping that the stock price goes up. The put option contract is the exact same thing, but only in reverse. We're hoping that the price goes down. It gives us the right to sell the underlying security at a stated price within a certain period of time. Okay, who's confused? Where do we go back to?
Beginning.
The very beginning. What is an option? What is an option? It's the right to buy or the right to sell. Okay? You're not actually buying or you're not selling.
You get one and you automatically get the other, right?
No. You can buy one or you can buy the other. You don't have to buy both.
But how can you have the right to sell it if you don't buy it?
Well, the stock?
Yeah.
You can own the stock. You don't have to. You don't have to own the stock. If I think a stock's going to go down, I can buy a put, and the same thing will happen. Let's just make a graph. Let's say I bought the put at a dollar. I paid a dollar, and I bought the. I had the right to sell that stock. I don't have to own the stock, because what happens if the stock price goes down? The stock price goes down, the option's going to go up. Because now I can turn around and sell a stock that's selling for, say, 16. I can sell it for 20. I can go out and buy it and sell it. But more than likely, I'm not going to even buy the stock. I'm going to just turn around and sell the option. You understand? I'm just going to turn around and sell the option to somebody else. Because it's tradable. It's a security. Options, speculators very rarely buy or sell the stock. They're just trying to make money off the variations. And that's why companies that are very volatile, the options will be more expensive. And companies that are not so volatile, the options will be less expensive because there's less price variability. Because the options speculators, let's call them, they very rarely actually buy the stock or sell the stock. They just simply trade the options. Yeah?
Do you invest in
options? Hell no. You can't invest in options. No, I don't. Never. I wanted to. That's a long time ago. Whatever. That's a long story. I won't get into it. But I was so sure I was going to sell puts on Philip Morris. Because my wife said I can't buy Philip Morris. So I could sell puts on Philip Morris. Which is not buying Philip Morris. But I didn't do it. Okay. Because if anybody thought that Philip Morris was going to go down, I thought they had needed their head examined. They were paying 12%. And that was when they were $18. They then went to $60. And I didn't buy Philip Morris because you always do. The key to a long-lasting marriage is do everything your wife tells you to do and don't keep any loaded firearms in the house. Because I'd be long dead if we had long firearms. That's why the NRA, they don't understand. They just don't understand.
Okay. A biometric state.
A biometric state, that's a good idea. It's a good idea. But then somebody, I'm here, I have a gun to protect myself. Where's the ammo? Oh, it's locked up in the safe. Excuse me, there's somebody breaks in your house. Excuse me, I'll be right back. Okay, so where did the terms call and put come from? How I remember which is which. The term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call it away. Come here, stock! You call it away from the person. The term put comes from the idea that when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to the seller of the option. You get the idea? Call, like, come here, stock. Call, put, go away, stock. And remember the guys and gals screaming and hollering and making the, come here, go away. I want to sell, I want to call, I want to buy. Okay, so there are two parties to the call option contract. There's the buyer who is the person who will, but doesn't have to. Remember, it's an option. They don't have to call it away. They buy the right to call the stock away from, buy it from the call seller. But they don't have to exercise that right. In fact, often the options contract expires worthless. Did I say that yet? Yeah, I think I said that. Okay, now, remember, it's a contract. There's somebody on the other side. There's another person, another speculator, who's on the other side. And that's the seller. This person must buy the stock if the buyer of the option exercises the right. They don't have to. If the option expires worthless, does the seller have to do anything? No. So if the call buyer exercises the option, then they have to go out and buy because they signed a contract. They said, you give me a dollar, because that's where the dollar goes. The dollar goes to the seller. And if I take this dollar, I am now obligated to buy that stock at $20, no matter what price it goes up to. I have to buy or down. If that stock goes to $40, I still have to pay $20 for it until the option expires, and then I'm off the hook. Are you with me? Understand? Adriana's got that look. No? In Espanol? You want a translation? You want a translation? No, forget it. Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Forget about these things. Okay, so now, what is the call option buyer hoping for? Right. They want the price to go up. So the call option buyer is bullish. So we use green for that, right? Okay? Because if the price goes up, they can buy a stock that's selling for $30 at $20. Or more likely, they can just turn around and sell the option for $11 and walk away. They don't have to buy the stock. If they want to, they can, but they don't have to. Now, what is the call option seller hoping for? Right. They're hoping that it goes down, so they are bearish, or at the least, they are, let's use blue, for neutral. Did I spell it right? No, I didn't. N-E-U. No, I spelled it right. Neutral. It doesn't look right for some reason. So the seller of the option is... Who's got a calculator for bomb here? Okay. So the call option seller, the person who gets the dollar...
I give him a calculator.
Can you give him a calculator? Okay. The person who is the seller who gets the dollar... They are hoping that the price goes down or at least stays the same, so they're neutral. The call option seller is hoping the price of the stock will go down or stay the same. A call option seller is bearish or at least not very bullish. If the stock stays around $20 or goes down, the call option buyer will not want to exercise the option. Why exercise an option for a stock that's selling for $16? Why would I buy it for $20? And the answer is you wouldn't. You just say, oh, I lost the dollar. I lost my call option price. Make sense? Starting to make sense a little bit? Clouds are starting. Maybe we'll look at some examples. Okay, so here is Ed and Ted. Okay, now, who's my call option buyer? Who's bullish in here? Who's bullish? Nobody? Everybody thinks stocks are going to go up? Okay. All right. Here is Ed. This is actually Hugo. You can call him Ed. And what is he? What is he? He pays the dollar for the option, right? He paid that buck. Now, who did he pay it to?
Ted.
He paid it to Ted. So who's bearish? Nobody bearish in here? How about it, Mike? You want to be bearish? He bearish. Or neutral. And so what does he get? He gets the ability to buy that stock at $20, no matter where it goes to. If it goes to 50, he still can pay $20 for that stock. What a deal, right? You understand? He, no matter how high that stock goes, he can buy that stock for $20. Now, does he have to do it? No, it's an option. It's not. You're not required if you buy the option to exercise the option. And in fact, most options expire worthless. Or if he does win, he just sells it and gets rid of it. You with me? Okay. Nod your head yes. Okay. Okay. So would you read your thing here?
I'm bullish. I pay a premium for the option, the price of the option. I have the right to call away the stock from the call option seller. I want the price of the stock to go up.
So what happens if you say damn premium? Damn. What did the fish say when it swam into the concrete wall? Damn. The dam is also a wall where the water comes together. It's English. What can I say? So you see? So he's hoping the stock price goes up. Now, Michael is the seller. What is the seller doing? He gets that dollar. But for that dollar that he puts in his pocket, he doesn't lose it. That dollar doesn't go away. It's in his pocket. What does he have to do?
I'm bearish or neutral. I receive a premium for the option, the price of the option. I must deliver the stock to the call buyer if he, she calls the stock away from me. I want the price of the stock to go down or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the call option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I'm naked.
What? You don't make a lot of money, but you could lose a lot of money if you're what?
Naked.
Naked! A naked call means that he doesn't own the stock. What if the stock goes up to 50? He's got to go out and buy it at $50 and sell it at 20. So how can he cover himself? He can cover himself by having the shares. So that if Ed here exercises the option and says, damelo, you know, give me the shares at $20, he can say, okay, here they are. Give me my $20. Do you understand? But if he's naked, this is called a covered call, by the way. It's called a covered call. That's a naked call or uncovered call. And if he's naked, he's got to go out and buy the stock at no matter what price it is and deliver it to the call option buyer. Covered calls are one of the two, they're the only type of option that you can put into an IRA. If you own the shares, you can sell a covered call. That's it. No other options are allowed in IRAs. Now, there is another one that really, I believe, should be, and that's a covered, selling a covered put. But I'm not in charge. SEC is in charge. And so they say only a covered call is allowed inside an IRA. Other than that, no options are allowed in an IRA. Because the Congress is saying, look, this is your retirement account, no gambling. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Are the clouds starting to go away? Yes.
So, he makes money if, say, I sell the option, right?
If you don't exercise the option.
But he said
that covered, he already has the shares also. Well, if he has the shares, then he's covered. He doesn't have to. He can be naked. Now, his broker is going to pay very close attention to the value of his account. Because if he can't deliver the shares, if he doesn't have the money to buy the shares to give it to you, who's got to do it? The brokerage firm. The brokerage firm has to cover, has to be behind all these things. So they're going to watch his account like a hawk. And if this price starts going up, they're going to say, hey, you don't have enough money. Give us, you know, bring the money in or else close out the option. Because you don't have to, if you're the seller, you don't have to stay until the end. You can turn around and close out the option. And what do? You sell it to somebody else. You basically let somebody else deal with it. But you're going to take a huge loss. You're going to have to take a huge loss to close out the transaction. But if the price of the stock keeps going up, your broker might make you do that or bring in more money. Because if you skip town, send them a postcard from Aruba or something like that, they're the ones that have to. The brokerage firm has to make good on the deal.
So if I didn't exercise this, though, but he already has that covered.
He got the buck.
He gets my money.
He gets your money.
What about the shares?
The shares, he gets to keep them. And he can do it again. He can
run it.
More
money like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the IRA, only we get to cover call, right?
That's my understanding. Unless the regs have changed, the only call, the only options, transactions that are allowed in IRAs are covered calls.
But at the outside, like brokerage?
Oh, you can do it, yeah. If you have a regular account, yeah, you can do margining, shorting, futures, options. Sure, go to Vegas. Go right ahead. I wouldn't do it, but that's up to you. Okay, got it, folks? Now, the same thing happens, except everything is in reverse, folks, when we go to a put option. The put option buyer is hoping that the price goes down because now they have the right to sell the stock. They can put the stock to the seller. So where's my red? Poopy. Oh, there it is. So the put option buyer is bearish because they can now, no matter what happens to the price, if the price starts going down, they can turn around and put it to the seller at that $20. And they don't have to. It's an option. So the seller must buy. I'm sorry. Did I say must buy over here? This must say must sell. This is wrong. I'm wrong. They must sell the stock. No, that's right. What did I'm getting confused. Don't you just hate options? I hate options. Yes. They must turn around. No. Right. They must sell the stock at whatever price it is. They must sell the stock at $20 no matter what price it is. Whereas the seller over here must buy the stock. It'll be put to them, the stock, at the exercise price or the strike price, it's called. Exercise price, strike price. If the options buyer actually exercises it. If the buyer exercises. But the buyer does not have to exercise the option. It's an option. So the seller of an option is bullish, hoping the price goes up, or just neutral, thinking that the price is going to stay the same. So the same thing happens in reverse. So let's take a look at the next slide. Now we've got Fred and Ned. Okay, so we need a couple more volunteers. He'll be over. Oh, you're already volunteered. Okay, Yasana and Yasana, who are you? Bearish or bullish?
Bullish.
You're bullish. Okay, so you're bearish. Okay, so Matthew is bearish. Okay, so Reed.
I'm bearish. I pay a premium for the option, price of the option. I have the right to put the stock and put off the seller. I want the price of the stock to go down. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium I pay.
Yeah, that's all they lose. But no matter what, they lose that premium. Because they paid that premium to who? They paid that premium to the seller. And so the seller...
So option seller, also known as option writer, option maker, I'm bullish on neutral.
Neutral.
Neutral. I receive a premium for the option, the price of the option. I must purchase the stock from the full buyer if he or she put the stock to me. I want the price of the stock to go up or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the full option premium. I don't know. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I make it.
What was that again? Yeah.
So many
naked. Yeah, naked. Now, how can she cover herself? If she has enough money to buy the stock at the price she said she would buy it from, then she's covered. But that's not allowed in an IRA. And I think it should be. Because think about it, folks. You like this stock, but you're not sure you want to buy it, right? I'm not sure I want to buy it. So what I can do is I can sell the option to the option buyer, the person on the other side of the contract, and if I was thinking about buying it at 20, now it goes down to 18. It's going to be put to me at 20, but I was going to buy it at 20 anyway, and I get a dollar, so I really get it for $19. You understand what's going on? No? You don't have to say yes. That's why we're here. Options are confusing, folks. There's no other word for it. Yes. It's one of the toughest parts of the Series 7. Yeah.
I have a question. So for the buyer, it doesn't have the cover call or naked. But for the seller, even put off call, they have to have like maybe naked or maybe cover call.
Well, it's up to them whether they want to be covered or naked or uncovered. But your brokerage firm, if you're uncovered, is going to watch you very carefully. Because you can lose a lot of money. You can lose a lot of money.
It's like kind of margin.
Well, we'll get to margining. It's the same idea. You can make a lot of money. You can lose a lot of money. And when you're the option buyer, the only thing you can lose is what you paid, the premium. But if you're the option seller and you have to buy that stock at $20 and it goes up to 100, you have to buy it from somebody else at 100 and turn around and sell it to them at $20. You see what you can lose? How often does that happen? In 3 months, 6 months? Doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does. So if you have the shares, you're covered. What you've lost is called opportunity cost. If you have the shares, You can't sell them for 100. You have to sell them for 20. You've signed a contract that you do that. But at least you don't have to go out and buy them at 100 and sell them for 20.
What's the terms you can buy them for, the option? Is it like 3 months, 6 months?
Well, that's the thing. There are different terms. They go in 3, 6, 9 month increments. Actually, there are options every month. Every month. You can buy an option every month, but they tend to go in 3, 6, 9 month increments. And then they're actually longer options. They're not supposed to be more than a year, but there are these special options called leaps. I don't know how they got around it. But see, if you have a security and it's less than a year maturity, then you don't have to go through the process of registering it with the SEC. That's commercial paper. Remember, treasury bills, bankers' acceptance notes, they're less than a year. And that's what options originally were. They were less than a year, 3, 6, 9 months. But now they have options that are 1, 2 years old. And I figure, how to get around that? I don't know. But I don't care. They're there, and you could buy an option for next year if you want.
Do you think a 9 month or a 6 month makes any difference?
Oh, yeah. The time. The time makes a difference. We're going to see that. Okay, so time for questions. I want questions. If I was going to somebody like, and I know, I apologize. When I first read about this, I was at the brokerage firm where I worked, helping the guy who was the president, and he was putting together the options package he had to submit. And I'm reading through this and helping him with he was very bad at the word processor. This is a long time ago. And I said, Frank, that was his name, Frank. We're both Frank. Yeah, Frank, yeah. I said, this seems like gambling. He goes, it is gambling. I said, okay, fine. He was very gruff. He was very gruff. So options are confusing, aren't they? Yeah. In fact, they're one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam. And you got to get a 70% on all the sections. So some people will blow off options or blow off shorting, and then boom, you failed. You know, you have to get every single section 70%. Options sound like gambling. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. Options are a form of gambling. In my humble opinion, it is a zero-sum game. Do you know what a zero-sum game is? Somebody wins. Yeah, don't play it. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Whereas stocks are open-ended, right? If the economy keeps growing, everybody can win. Now, some will lose, obviously. Some companies will lose, but others will gain.
I have a question. For the option, it's like a 50% losing and 50% winning, right? But for the casino, it's
30%. Well, yeah. When you say 50% losing, 50% winning, it's not really that, the odds aren't really that good. Because remember, you have to pay commissions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. So it's called entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Have you heard of entropy? Friction? You know, in a frictionless environment where you don't have to pay any commissions, sure, 50% would win, 50% would lose. Who wins every time? The stockbroker, right, exactly, because you pay a commission when you... Exactly. This person pays the commission... The option buyer, this person pays the commission, the option seller. You see? Why do you think options were created? I am sure that the brokerage firms are looking at the casinos going, damn, we want to get into this too. Let's create these things that don't really do any good for the economy, but we can make a lot of money off of the suckers. I mean, the investors, the speculative investor who wants to, instead of go to the casino, they can come to us. A family acquaintance, I love it when I say the right thing, once called me, hey, Frank, I can hear you can make a lot of money investing in options. And I said, wait a minute. Yes, you can make a lot of money, but you can also lose a lot of money. But you can't invest in options. You can speculate in options. You cannot invest in something that has a 50, 60% chance of being worthless in 3 months. Because that's not investing, right? Not investing. So you want to take a look at a few of these? Take a look. What's next? Okay, let's not go into the accurate. Let's just start looking at them. I'm sorry?
Person?
Oh, Louis Vuitton? Lousy Vuitton? Loser Vuitton?
Investing?
Yeah. I beg to... Oh, by the way, how are we doing? What, Gerardo, would you hit the lights? You know we're stuck here. Oh, look at this! Down 50%! Look, one stinker, folks. All the others are doing okay. 3D, yeah, who was that? Who was that? Where is he? Who was that? 3D printing, look at that. Because supposedly HP's getting into the game?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Should have sold. Yeah, look, he's in trouble.
Okay.
So let's take, what company you want to take a look at?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's Costco? Okay, we'll look at Costco's the next. Because that should be less volatile. We'll see that should be less volatile than Facebook. So we go to Facebook, and notice that there it is right there. Options. It's gone up 2 points. See, this is good. This is actually a good one because options of companies that are very volatile are going to be more expensive than options of companies that are less volatile. So we click on options, and we can go to the Yahoo options page. Or you can go, actually, I like MarketWatch's options better. I thought they were better. So let's go to MarketWatch. Let's go to, because Yahoo has destroyed yet again another very good, is that the one I used? Who did I use? MarketWatch. I use MarketWatch. So let's type in Facebook. And this is funny because you have to click there or else it does a search. Okay, so there's Facebook, and they're showing that, yeah, it's having a good day. And then we go to options. Okay, now what's going on here? Now see the problem? Okay, yeah, you can see it better on this one. So here are the call. Let me make it a little bit bigger. This is called the options chain. Let's get rid of that. And I don't know why it's called an options chain, but that's the name. It's called the options chain. And so this is showing the calls. And notice that this is gray, right? And this is showing the puts, and that's gray. And we'll say what we'll explain why later on. But you see it says in the money. And we'll get to that in a bit, what that means. But right here is the current price. Right now, the current price is $53.63. So these people have the right to buy the stock at $57.50. Now, what is this for? April or May? May or June? This is for May. It's for May 2014. Now, what happens is the third Friday of every month the options expire. So these May options are going to expire on, what's that, May 16th. I think that's right. Who's got a calendar? But May 16th, because May 2nd, 9th, and then 16th. The third Friday of every month, the options expire. So this person right here, right now, paid $2.72 for the right to buy Facebook at $57.50. Now, they have that right until the third Friday of May. After that, what happens to the option? Poof. So if they buy that right today and Facebook goes down to 50, are they going to exercise the option?
No,
they're just going to let it expire. But if Facebook goes up to 60, what can they do? They can buy it at $57.50 if they want. Or they could turn around and sell the option. Because if Facebook goes up to 60, this is probably going to go up to like $4, $5, even depending on how much time is left. Because as it gets closer and closer, the time premium starts to shrink. Because now, we're looking at May, right? What happens if we go out to July? You see what just happened? Instead of $2.72, this person paid $4.31 for the right to buy Facebook at $57.50, and they have until the third week in July to do that. So you see why this option costs twice as much as the almost twice as much as the previous option? The previous option only gives us until May 16th. The July 4th is a Friday, so that would be 21st, July 21st. So, no.
More likely to get.
July 20th. I'm sorry. July 20th. So the this person has until July 20th before they have to exercise the option. So again, if Facebook goes up higher, They're going to win. If Facebook goes down, oh well, they lost their $4.31. Oh yeah, they can. Well, most, there are some options, European options, that can only be exercised on the day of exercising. American options, which are mostly done in America, United States, can be exercised at any time. But most people wouldn't bother. They would just say, oh, I took my profits. They just turn around and close out the options. They would just get rid of the option. Yes?
Do they have to pay 3 pennies for $100?
This person, yes. This person paid 3 cents for the right to buy Facebook at $100. Now, do you think that Facebook is going to make it to $100 by July 20th?
No.
I don't think so, but obviously this person does. Or they think it's going to go up enough so that this option will go up. And if it goes up from 3 cents to a dollar, that's still pretty darn good return on your speculation, isn't it? You have to buy, hang on a minute, you have to buy 100 shares. Right. She's on the ball. she's ahead of us here. Yeah. So you understand what's happening?
Yeah.
Would you get involved in options?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Well, it's up to you, folks.
I think it's very important.
What's the difference between buying a put option and like the shorting a stock?
Well, they're very similar. If you buy a put option, you're hoping the price goes down. If you sell short, you're hoping the price goes down. But they're different in how they actually work. The put option, you don't actually have to sell by the short. Yeah, when you sell it, next week. Okay, I don't want to get into it right now. Okay, but they're very similar. You both want the stock to go down. Okay, got it? You with me? Now, let's make it confusing. Let's look at the put side. The put side, notice that these are now gray and these are white because these are in the money. Huh? Because if I purchase a put option at $5.60, I get to sell the stock to somebody at $60. You understand? Wait a minute. What's it selling for? $57.64. So my option is in the money. It's worth something just being alive. And I have until July 20th for the price to go down. And if the price that goes down, my option is going to be worth more because if the price goes down, I get to sell a stock at $60 that's selling for $52 or $50. So I can turn around and exercise the option, sell the stock at $60, or just turn around and sell the option and make, $4 from $5.60 down up to $10.60. We don't know what happens if the stock price goes down. The option price will start going up. Make sense? Does it make sense? Is it gambling?
Oh, yeah.
It's gambling, folks. Pure and simple. In my humble opinion, it is gambling. Okay. Now, let's get back to the by the way, we're going to go look at Costco. How about if we take a look at, what? Okay, let's take a look at Costco. I don't want to hurt her feelings here. Okay, let's take a look. I'm trying to think of somebody. Johnson & Johnson. How about Johnson & Johnson? Okay. Johnson & Johnson. We go to options on Johnson & Johnson. And Johnson & Johnson is selling for $101.12. Actually, I thought it would be lower, but $1.80. $1.80. What was the Facebook one selling for? $2.70. This is selling for $1.80. So I'm surprised. I thought it would be much lower, because Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, GE, they're not as volatile as Facebook or Twitter. So the options will sell for less. In this case, $1.80. It's still a lot less. I thought it'd be more. I would thought it'd be lower. But you're paying $1.80 for the right to sell this stock at $101 until May 16th, in which case afterwards, if the stock doesn't go up, if it goes down, that option becomes worthless. Or if the price goes up, I can buy it for $101, or more likely just turn around and pass on the option to somebody else and make a buck.
You know how she was saying this for 100 shares? So
you buy your shares and it's a dollar and you don't exercise, then you lose $100?
Yes. Okay. Yes, because USANA brought up the idea, or not the idea, but the fact that options are not, you just can't buy one option. You have to buy 100. Every time you buy an option, you're buying a contract for 100 shares. And that's why I said he's got the 100 shares. You can't just buy for 50 shares or 25 shares. It has to be in 100 share increments.
Yeah, that one's really risky.
Yeah, because it's not $1.80, it's $180. Yeah, exactly. You know, I lost $1.80. No. You bought the guy paying 3 cents? What is that? Yeah, $3, right? But he has to pay $10 for the commission. Yes.
Is that versus gambling? Because in gambling, I've done $20 hands, and it's like in 3 seconds you lose the money or you make the money. Versus that, you have some time.
You lose $3. What? Say that again.
In 3 seconds, like when you do big hands, like $100 hands, stuff like that.
I don't do $100 hands. I don't do dollar hands. I don't do 50 cent hands. You know, if you're a gambling person, options are probably better than the odds at Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, I don't think it's investing, but it's up to you. It's up to you. Okay, good. Glad to hear it. Okay, so I apologize. Options are confusing, but, you know, this is what you're stuck with, folks. Now, what's the exercise price? Want to turn the lights back on, Gerardo? Because we're almost done, because you guys are getting tired. Ooh-dee-dee. Okay. The exercise price is that $20 that we've been discussing. It's also called the strike price or exercise price. It's the stipulated in the contract, the price at which the buyer of the call option gets to buy the stock, or the buyer of the call, the put option, gets to sell the stock. And typically they go in $2.50 or $5 or dollar increments. But pricing is more flexible now. We saw that they were in, some of them were in 50 cent increments, I saw, dollar increments. It used to be that they would only sell them in $2.50, but now we see dollar increments. So the expiration date is the date at which the option expires, after which the option becomes worthless. And I mentioned that options become worthless often. Yes, I did. And the hour before close on the third Friday of every month is called the witching hour, because many of these options that are, you know, not worth a whole lot, but that's when they get, they all unwind at the very last hour. As well as stock options, there are also stock index options and stock index futures, which we'll discuss later. When all three, stock options, stock index options, and stock futures expire on the exact same day, it's called the triple witching hour. So you might hear on the news today, oh, today was triple witching hour and the market went crazy the last hour because they have to unwind all these transactions. Exercise style. We discussed this real quickly. American options can be exercised at any time. European options can also be exercised at can only be exercised at expiration. Normally, as we've already made mention, if you wanted to take a profit from an option that had done well, and there was still significant time until the expiration date, you would simply resell the option instead of actually exercising the option. However, with an American-style option, if you really wanted the stock, you could exercise the option by or sell, depending on if you're the call option buyer or the put option buyer, before the expiration date. And there are several other types of options with various provisions that you can look up if you're so inclined. All you need to know are American options before the expiration date, European only on expiration. So now, we've already done this. You can go to biz.yahoo.com. But I'll tell you, folks, Yahoo, I just don't understand why they keep destroying things. But use MarketWatch, because the assignment is a bonus assignment. And here's what I want you to do. It's up to you. You don't have to do it. It's very simple. One day, I want you to take a look at, I think I used Google and Johnson & Johnson, no, Procter & Gamble. I used Google and Procter & Gamble. But you can use any two stocks. But I want one stock to be volatile. It's on the front page at the bottom. Front page at the bottom. I want one stock to be volatile, like Google, like Twitter, like Facebook, or Apple. And then the other stock to be like Johnson & Johnson or Procter & Gamble or GE, not volatile. And so what you're going to do is one day take a look at the options. Did I pick June? I think I said June. Yeah, June. And then wait a week. You can watch it throughout the week if you want to. But wait a week and see how much it's gone up or down and see if it becomes worthless or not. And I picked an amount that was close to the price when I wrote this. So, you know, the price could have changed quite a bit. So you don't have to use the price that I have there. Pick a price that is close to the stock price, because that'll be the most volatile. And what I'm hoping you'll get, it's a bonus assignment, you don't have to do it, but it's very easy, is an appreciation for how crazy these things are. And you might make a lot of money, who knows? And you might lose a lot of money, so it's up to you. It's speculating. I'm sorry, are you upset over these?
Are you upset?
You like them? Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead. I'm sure to some people they get a thrill because, and you'll see, say, I made 100% in one day. Sure, if it goes from 20 cents to 40 cents, that's 100%. The next day it goes from 40 cents to zero. I lost it all in one day. And so, yippee. It is. It's speculating.
I'll
lose it all. Okay, well, there you go. And more. Okay, so those of you who want to go through it again, stick around. We'll discuss it again. Questions on options, we'll go through. And then next time we meet, now you're leaving. Okay, that's right. I'll tell you. Check your email tomorrow because I might not be here on Thursday. My mother's in pretty bad shape. So I might have to take a personal day or two.
Philadelphia. You ever been to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
You're not missing anything. Philadelphia. New York. The city of brotherly shove.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good stay in the airport. Don't go in the city. Okay, so I might not be here, but we'll see.
Okay. See you when I see you. Maybe Thursday, definitely by Tuesday. I'll be back by Tuesday. Check your email. I will send you guys an email.